tell you what, that is exciting to me. To know that the God of the universe, the one who has the power to speak it into existence, his words were also so kind and gracious to redeem us, to send his son, crucify us that way that our lives, although stained with sin, that through his power and his love for us, it would make us white as snow. Now I get it. Most of us in this room would agree that most of the time we don't feel as white as snow. That does not change the miraculous power and the work that God himself has done. So today we are wrapping up one portion of This Is Us. And next week we start the next portion of This Is Us. And I will tell you, this has been the one message that I've been probably the most excited to share so far in the series, is this investing. Now, as we've said over and over this entire series so far, and This Is Us, we said that scripture and prayer are the overarching principles of Boulevardia Baptist Church. These fundamental truths serve as the foundation for who we are in Christ and why we exist. And my proposed mission statement, the new mission statement for our church, would be that Boulevardia Baptist Church exists for people to belong in community, grow in a relationship with Jesus, and invest in the lives of others. We've been looking at Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, to kind of pull out and tease out these belong, grow, and invest categories, which is our strategic process of what it means to be a part of here. What it means is how we're gonna go about doing things. And we've looked at how through the parable of the Good Samaritan, we saw this man fall in the hands of robbers, a priest passed by, a Levite passed by, but a Samaritan took care of his wounds, bandaged them up, poured wine and oil on them, and then took him into town to an innkeeper. Took care of him there, and the next day, Luke tells us that he looked at the innkeeper and told him to take care of this man until he was back and restored. And he says, and if you are short anything, when I come back, I will repay you. Of course, Jesus asked, who was the man who loved his neighbor? And he says, the one who showed mercy on him. He says, you need to go and do likewise. So the point of this guy was challenging Jesus on what does it mean to have, what I need to have eternal life? And God says, why do you read the scriptures? And he says, well, to love your Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love your neighbors yourself. He says, do those things and you will live. But he wanted to know who was his neighbor. I want to make sure I get this right, or trying to trick up Jesus. Today, or first week, we talked about belong. How that if we could have pulled the guy who fell in the hands of robbers and asked him, who made you feel like you belonged, you were important, that, you know, took care of you, what would that be? It would be, said, the Samaritan, the innkeeper. We talked about the growing process. Who took care of you? If we asked the man who fell in the hands of the robbers, who helped you in the growth process? Who helped you back to redeem and back to health? It would have been the Samaritan and the innkeeper. And today we look at invest. Now, the reason why I like the word invest is because I feel like the word invest has this connotation of doing something now with an expectant return. Now, when we talk in our budget meetings, I've kind of challenged our stewardship team. You know, let's not, when we say, hey, you know, we're going to give the children's ministry this much money to spend. When we say the word spend, we think of the money that it's now gone. But we believe in kingdom work, that God always returns back on the things that we're doing, that God is at work. So I've challenged our staff, I challenged our stewardship team. When we talk about our budgets, we talk about the words investment, which means how much money are we going to invest in the children's ministry, because we believe that there's going to be something come from that. We don't want to just spend money on children. We don't want to just spend money on VBS. We don't want to spend money on camp. We want to invest money on those people. We don't want to just spend our time up the church. We don't want to just spend our time on Wednesday nights at Bible studies. We want to invest our time. If you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin, first thing is this: investment requires sacrifice. Investment requires sacrifice. In order to give, you must give up. In order to give, you must give up. When we invest time, we decide that that time will not be spent anywhere else. When you say, hey, I want to go and spend my time at the workday, no, we want you to invest your time at the workday coming up. Why? Because there's going to be something that's going to come about that. It's not wasted. But the thing is, when you invest your time, you give that time up. You're saying that I will not spend this time anywhere else. I don't know if you've noticed this, if you have more than one kid, but you cannot go and invest your time at your daughter's softball game at the exact same time that your son is playing baseball two cities away. You ever had that conversation, mom and dad? Who's going where? Who's taking the kids where? Why? Because you cannot spend your time. You cannot use your time separately at the same place. So when you decide to invest, investment requires sacrifice. You must give up. That time is gone. You can't put it anywhere else, but you can choose to have a mindset of investment, but it requires sacrifice. In the kingdom, investing in our lives of others can be messy and it can be hard. It requires sacrifice. What it means is you're not going to come home as early as you did the night before because you are meeting with someone for life coach for dinner. You are meeting with your small group leader, or I'm going to take one of my guys out for lunch in the company because I know he's going through a rough time and I want to invest my time with him, which means when I'm choosing to do that, it requires sacrifice. I'm choosing that I can't spend this time, use this time, invest this time anywhere else than at this moment, but it requires sacrifice. Investment financially requires sacrifice. Hey, I want to invest this in, you know, this portfolio and this stock option. Guess what? What you're saying is I'm going to take this money and I'm not going to spend it here. I'm going to put it here. I have to give this money up here. I can't say I'm going to invest $1,000 into this company and turn around and spend that exact same $1,000 on a vacation. You can't do it. You got to give it up. This is dedicated to this. And when it comes to the kingdom of God, it requires sacrifice. It's going to require something of us. The way I like to say it is it's going to require either your time, your talents, or your treasure. When you invest in the kingdom of God, it's going to take time, talents, and treasure. There's time that it takes, which means literally this 15 minutes, 2 hours, or this 3 hours every Friday morning for the next 6 weeks is devoted to this person, this marriage, my kids, whatever it may be, this investment, it's going to require sacrifice because that time cannot be used anywhere else. I'm giving it up. It's a sacrifice. The second thing is God always provides the sacrifice. The thing that God is asking you to do, he's already given to you. Think about this. When it comes to our finances, the thing that God has required of us, he's already given. When it comes to our time, the things that God has required of us, he's already given. When it comes to our abilities, when it's time to invest, he's already provided. God will never ask you to give up something that you don't already have. And by the way, he has provided you everything that he needs. The very breath that you took is a gift of God. It's not on your own. You don't control your life. You don't control when your last day is. But this investment not only is a sacrifice, but God will provide that sacrifice. Now, in saying that, I go back to what I believe is probably one of the hardest sacrifices that I can identify with is Abraham and Isaac. Genesis chapter 22. We find that God looks at Abraham and says, hey, you are going to go up to the mountain and you're going to sacrifice your son. So he grabs his servants, he grabs his donkey, he grabs a rope, a knife, and they're headed up the mountain. And he gets to a point and looks at his servant and says, just stay here, we will come back down. Now I've asked several people this question and I believe, I said, well, you know, those who know the story, it's like, did God provide the sacrifice? They're like, yes, there was a ram caught in a thicket. I'm like, take a step back. Did God ask Abraham to sacrifice the ram? No. Asked him to sacrifice his son. Where did his son come from? God blessed him with a son. And God provided the sacrifice. But when he got to the point and bound up his son, angel of the Lord the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, as we believe, spoke and said, don't touch your son. We now know you, get this, fear God. Which means Abraham was more concerned with what would happen if I did not do what God has required me to do, then how could I maneuver what the next 10 years could look like and how I could maybe just ask God to forgive me and move on. Go back and look at Genesis 22. He says, now that we know you fear God. And he said, look, dear attention, there's a ram. His horns are cocked. And they unbound his son and put the ram and sacrificed the ram. But the thing is what God had originally asked him to sacrifice, God provided. Then when God saw the heart of Abraham, he provided once more another sacrifice for him. God will always provide the things that he has required of you to sacrifice, what he's required me to sacrifice. The thing is, are we willing? Do we fear God enough to use our time differently? Do we fear God enough to use our finances differently? I don't know about you, but I've messed it up multiple times. And I'll probably mess it up again. But what I do know is when it comes to investing in the kingdom of God, it is a sacrifice, but God will always provide that sacrifice. The question is, am I willing to trust him? Investment is not easy. It's messy. It's hard. It's time consuming. It requires faith. It requires obedience. God will always provide the sacrifice. And the third thing is when there's investment, there's a return. When there's an investment, there's a return. When we do kingdom work, we move the ball forward. The thing is, we may not always see it. We may not always see it. But when we do kingdom work, we move the ball forward. I cannot tell you how many times in my years as youth ministry where a kid will go through my youth ministry, graduate, be a junior in college, and call me up and say, do you remember that one thing now when I was in eighth grade? Oh, let me just stop you right there. No. That was 7 years ago. I do not remember that one bit. Like, but you said this. And I want you to know that I've not forgotten that. And that changed my life. About 10 months ago, I get a call from a girl that was in my youth ministry. And she did the exact same thing. When I was a freshman, you asked me if I'd come to DNOW. I said I didn't want to. You got all my friends to basically gang up on me. And I came. I had a blast. And I want you to know that weekend, this is what you said when you spoke. And I've never forgotten that. And this person was going through a really dark time and decided to get back involved in church, back on track. See, God doesn't always move the way we want him to. God doesn't always move in the speed that we want him to. But when we are investing in the kingdom of God, there is a return. I love what the scripture says in Isaiah. He says, my word goes out and it does not come back void. When we are investing our lives, our time, our talents, and our treasures in the kingdom of God, it does not return void. It moves the needle. There is a return. And that's one reason I like to use that word when we talk about our finances in the church, because we believe that we're not just spending this much money on a youth event or this much money on a children's event or this much money to go overseas, that we are investing our time. We're investing our talents, the things that God has equipped us with, our personalities, our gifts, all those things that God has blessed us with. We're investing those things. And we know that when we were investing in the kingdom of God, that there's a return on that. It just may not happen the way we want it to. We may say a prayer and that person not get saved that day. They may not get saved till they're late in their years. But we know that when we invest in the lives of others, there is return. Now, the best place to start investing is this. Look who's around you and ask yourself, what do I have to offer? It's very easy. You'd ask yourself, okay, Paul, if I want people to belong, grow, and invest, but this investment is going to require sacrifice, that God's going to give me the sacrifice, and there's going to be a return on this sacrifice. Okay, Paul, How do I start? Easy. Draw a circle around you. Ask yourself, who is inside this circle? What people? Is it your wife? Is it your kids? Is it a guy you work with? Just draw the circle in your head and ask yourself, who is inside this circle? And what do I have to offer? Parents, what it may mean is going to your kids after school. Instead of going home and cooking dinner and getting the grind, maybe it means carving out a little time just to stop by the coffee shop and get a drink, or stop by the gas station, get a Coke, and sit out at a park bench and just say, tell me about what's going on. Let's talk about life. Let's talk about what's going on. Maybe it means getting off work early, surprising your kids at a game they didn't think you were going to be able to make. Draw the circle around and ask yourself, who's in that circle and what do I have to offer? And I'm saying, go for it. And can I just tell you, a smile can go further than you really think it does. Can I just tell you that looking at someone and smiling at them and asking them how their day's going or have a great day, do you realize that in today's world, I mean, we walk in and out of HEB, in and out of stores, and we're all like looking at the ground, looking at our phone. I'm guilty of it too. But do you understand what a smile, how far that would go in someone's life? It's not difficult. It doesn't require millions of dollars. It doesn't take a PhD in theology. It just takes willingness to say, who's around me and what can I do? Investment. It requires sacrifice. You're going to have to give up something. It'll be worth it. God will provide the very thing that he's asking you to give up. He's already given it to you, which means it's not yours in the first place. And the last thing is, we know that there will be a return on that. See, our old mission statement was to lead people to faith in Christ and growth in Christ's likeness. That was our mission statement. And I made the comment to you the very first week that I felt like it was a little limiting. Now, again, there was no one bigger fan of that mission statement at this church than me. And I just go out and say that. I memorized it. I put it on things. I put it all over anything we printed, publicized, whatever. We stamped it full of every single thing we could. But as I began to listen to our staff and leaders around me, I realized that, does this really embody the next step, the future, and who we are as a church? So I got to ask myself, if we really believe that kingdom work starts at the point of salvation, like we see that God has redeemed this person, the Holy Spirit's filled this person, he's given him a gift, talented or her, a gift or a talent, a spiritual gift, that person now has a responsibility in the kingdom of God. Does our mission statement, if I were to walk up to a fifth grade girl and say, now that you're a Christian and you go to church on a regular basis and you godly families here, your job as a fifth grade girl is to lead people to faith in Christ and growth in Christ's likeness. And they're like, but I'm still trying to memorize the books of the Bible. I'm still trying to remember, you know, what a disciple is. And I've got this massive task above me. So then I asked myself, and I've kind of pondered that a little bit, but just kind of moving on, going, well, you know, just maybe not yet. But if I want everyone in this church, see, the thing is when I look at this church, I'm not looking for those who are just 35 years and above. I know I made a comment last week about there's no retirement age when it comes to the kingdom of God, but also believe there's a clause that says you can't have the labor law act where you can't employ or put to work children. Because I'll be honest with you, in the kingdom of God, if the Holy Spirit fills your life, you have kingdom work to be done. I don't care if you are just a fourth grader. I don't care if you are just a sixth grader. I don't care if you're a ninth grader. You have a responsibility in the kingdom of God. So I look at this one, our mission statement, to help people belong in community, grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and invest in the lives of others. I ask myself, all right, I'm just going to pick a kid in the children's ministry. I'm going to ask myself, Can a kid in the children's ministry walk in this mission statement? So I plucked Madeline Tyler out of the group. Madeline Tyler is the daughter of our drummer, John Tyler, our granddaughter of our church treasurer, Barry Tyler. Her mom is Anna Tyler. She's just a normal girl who comes to this church. But they're invested here. 2 years ago, she got saved. January 1st, I think it's 2018, John said he baptized her. She's a born-again believer, walking with Jesus, loves him, loves his church. So I asked myself, does Madeline, how can she help people belong in community? Well, it's easy. Madeline's involved in swimming. She's on a swim team. There have been kids from her swim team who've come to church with her on Wednesday nights. When she's not swimming in a big tournament, she's here on Sunday mornings, and she's brought some of her friends with her at times. Lachelle has set up an environment in the children's ministry where people walk in. It's fun, it's energetic, it's exciting. So she's able to bring someone who doesn't go to church just as a friend she swims with and help them feel like they belong, and they have a good time. They're able to get prizes. They have rewards. They have games. They have lessons. She's brought these people to VBS, and they've heard the gospel presented. So Madeline is able to help, as a fifth grade girl, help people belong in community. Grow. Well, by being connected in our children's ministry through events like VBS, the river camp that Lachelle does, the color nights on Wednesday nights, Sunday morning small groups that she does every week, and all of her leaders, they're investing in Madeline's life, and she's growing in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing. 3 years ago, she wasn't a believer. 2 years ago, she got saved because of the involvement of her parents in church, her involvement in the children's ministry. So she grew into a relationship with Jesus, and now being taught the fundamental truths of the Old and New Testament through our children's ministry, she is understanding more and more and growing in her relationship. Is she ready to give up and give her first Bible study? Probably not. Probably scared to death if Lachelle asked her to do that, but she is growing. But invest. Can a fifth grade girl really invest in the lives of others? Well, I would petition you today that just by bringing someone to church where they hear the message and the word of God, that you're already investing your time with this person. But the thing is she also has a talent and she has treasure. She, through VBS, was able to give money, which our children's ministry helped build a church. So she invests her time. She's invested her treasure. But what about her talents? Well, once a month, Lachelle takes the upperclassmen of the children's ministry over to the preschool ministry, and they do a puppet show, and they do a Bible study with them. They call it, what do they call it, Lachelle? His Little People Church. Almost called it His Kids Junior Church. It's Little People Church. And our children's ministry walks into the preschool area and does a service for them, and Madeline helps lead out in that time. So as a fifth grade girl, she's able to help people belong in community. She herself is able to grow into a relationship with Jesus, but also grow in her relationship with Jesus. And she's using her time, her talents, and her treasures to invest in the lives of others, even at the age of 10, 11 years old, a fifth grader. Now, some of you know exactly where I'm going with this. If a fifth grade kid in our church can successfully achieve all three of those things, and you, as older, mature believers, are setting the example for her, I believe it's capable of you to do that as well. This is why I want our church to wrap around and embrace this as the mission statement, because it embodies anyone in our church who has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and gives them a job, a task, a mission, and everyone here, from the third graders to the 93rd graders, can accomplish this mission successfully. Now, I told you earlier in our State of the Church address that there were some big plans ahead. I've been praying for the moment to share this with you. And through this last couple of weeks in prayer, this is what I believe is the best time to do it. Back in 2018, November 2018, I interviewed. You guys selected a team to interview who would be the next lead pastor. And I walked into the interview, not knowing how this was going to work out, whether I was going to move my family, stay here, and work under someone else. I didn't know. But I had written out my goals for the church staff and for the entire church for years 1 and 2 and then 3 through 5. And they said, what do you see us as a church doing? And I opened up my iPad, and I don't think I stopped talking for almost an hour after that. But I wanted to share with you what was on that list. In my interview, I said, here's a 5-year plan for us. First thing in that list for us as a church was, I said, evaluate and change our core values to embody who we are, and that would embody who we are and guide us as we follow Jesus. At the end of this 1-year term as your pastor, we're implementing that. Second thing was evaluate and change our mission statement to embody our mission church-wide. We're implementing that. I said, I would love to have bi-monthly or once a quarter, I love my church videos to constantly remind and reintroduce why Bulverde Baptist Church is such a great church. I would love to alert, I said, I want to alert the church to what our ministries are doing in a way that everyone feels in touch and what our ministries are accomplishing. You've seen that implemented too by bringing people up who went on mission trips, bringing our ministerial staff up and interviewing Garrett and Lachelle and Deborah, by even talking about children's ministry today. I want to continue to implement so people in the church know what is going on. The other one I said for the first 2 years, I said, I'd love to change the format of our church council from a quick business meeting format to a time where ministries can collaborate on upcoming events, a place to share vision or maybe even sermon ideas and evaluate our current church state of pace and direction. We're working on that. The church 3 to 5 year plan. The things I said in the interview, I said, here's what I'd love to do for our church and what I think God could be taking our church in the years 3 through 5. Continue life coach and host a discipleship conference for the San Antonio area for other churches to be able to follow a model of what God is doing in the lives of the church members here. I want to increase our public view of Bulverde Baptist Church through billboards, mailouts, whatever it may be. We're the hidden little church on Bulverde Road that no one knows about but you guys. And we've only grown through word of mouth, and that's great. But there are some people who are searching and don't know you guys, and I want to increase our view. I said, we may need to hire a next gen's pastor, someone who does like 18 to 28 year olds, or a senior adult pastor, or a small groups pastor. But we need to extend past that. I want to pay off our church mortgage, potentially turn the gym into a multifunction educational space, or we need to look into transitioning into a home group style discipleship model. But I don't ever want to look at someone and say, we don't have room for you to grow. I'm sorry you didn't belong because we didn't have a chair for you. Sorry we were out of time and space to invest in you. So we either look at creating space or reformatting how we do things. But what we're not going to do is be limited by sheetrock and wood and studs. Start a building campaign to maybe even add a nursery space or a balcony for our auditorium if the need arises. Purchase property next to the church for soccer fields, baseball fields, or to create maybe a sports ministry or a community outreach place. There's a big old property right here that has a house on it, and right next to it is a big old lot and nothing's on it. When I used to walk and live next door to the church, I'd walk the property and walk by these property land. I would just pray, God, you know, if we're going to do anything great, we're going to have to do things differently. If you want us to have this piece of property, you just give it to us. The other thing is, potentially come back in our office space and convert it into an open office style complex, because as we continue to add church staff, as our church continues to grow, we're already out of office space. We already have 4 people sharing one office. We're gonna need to do some things different. I'm not saying I've got all the answers, but what I wanna do is be in front of the potential problems. I wanna be in front of what could be next. But I think in order for us to ever really tackle those things, as big as they are, as daunting of a task they could be, here's what I do know. As I said my very first Sunday, we will never go anywhere unless we are as one with honoring Jesus at the very center. And I believe having everyone in our church, every redeemed soul in our church, knowing that their goal is to have people belong in community, that their goal is to grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ and invest in the lives of others, and to be able to every single week ask ourselves those questions. Am I helping people belong? Am I growing? Am I investing in someone else so they can grow? Am I investing in something in a ministry so they can feel belonged? Belong, grow, and invest. And if a fifth grade girl in our church can do it well, I believe everyone in our church can do it well. And these big, scary, daunting tasks ahead of us, they're not so big and scary anymore. Because we walk with Jesus and we're gonna sacrifice whatever it takes to get there. And when Jesus says, Bulverde Baptist Church truly fears the Lord, which means honoring him above everything else is primo. God once again provides the sacrifice. I want to ask that we just bow our heads in a moment. We're going to close. The worship team is going to come out and sing us a song that they sang last week as everyone was closing, but today we're going to join and worship with them. But God, I just pray that we would take a personal exam. Let us not be critical with ideas, or let's not be critical with thoughts. Lord, if anything, let's be critical with ourselves. What are we doing to help people belong in community? What are we doing to help people grow in a relationship? And what am I doing to help myself grow in my relationship with you? And have I been obedient and sacrificed? Am I investing in the lives of other people? Let this be said of us as a church, and we will see great things happen. Amen.